Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's just jump right into it here. Several headlines in front of me right now as we speak involving illegal aliens and the continued problems we are seeing here in Montana, but also what local law enforcement and what federal law enforcement are working to do about it finally. After 10 to 20 million criminal illegal aliens were allowed to flood this country under the four years of the Joe Biden, John Tester regime. Which headline should we start with? Well, actually, let's start with this one that I don't think has made any headlines yet. Now, maybe it did, but either way, here you go. There is an account on X, on the social media platform now known as X, known as Illegal Alien Crimes. You can follow them on X, at Immigrant Crimes. And I tell you, they have been a great source of information. They've been sharing info with me, or sometimes our listeners will see something that they share, and then the listener shares it with me. Here is the latest that just got shared by Illegal Alien Crimes. Gallatin County, Montana. Last month, Rene Urbano Aguirre Arguello was arrested for attempted deliberate homicide. He is on an immigration detainer hold. Aguirre Arguello is accused of stabbing a man in the neck at a warming shelter. Now, you might say, well, why does an illegal alien need to be at a warming shelter in Montana in June? But, you know, it snows in June. That case, to me, it also needs to be pointed out here that the people who virtue signal and pretend to care about immigrants are the people responsible for 300,000+ kids going missing and likely in the arms of sex traffickers and human traffickers right now. They're also some of the same people who love to virtue signal and pretend that they care about homeless people. Yet, look at what this illegal alien is accused of doing. Stabbing a man in the neck at a homeless shelter in Gallatin County, Montana. Okay, so that's one story for you here. This one just got reported by U.S. Border Patrol Spokane Sector. And thanks to our friends at KJJR Radio for sharing this story with us. Whitefish Station Border Patrol agents assisted local law enforcement with identifying six Honduran nationals. The agents established that the five adult males and one female were all illegally present in the United States. The subjects have been transferred to ICE and will be processed for removal from the United States. So great job by the men and women of the Border Patrol and the men and women of ICE as well. Speaking of whitefish, we got to get to this story. Crazy headline on the Daily Interlakes website right now. Whitefish rethinking its relationship with the Border Patrol. You think it's just the city council in Missoula or the city commission in Bozeman or Butte that's crazy? Wait till you hear what's coming out of whitefish right after this. Hi.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Here's the headline. Whitefish rethinking its relationship with Border Patrol, officials say. Here's the report from Haley Smalley with the Daily Interlake. Whitefish city officials said they are navigating fairly murky waters with local U.S. Border Patrol agents as the Trump administration ramps up its immigration enforcement agenda. You know, when I see this story and I see this headline, you know what we need to do? We need to do a big rally. I was going to shoot a note to our friend like Josh Carl with AFP Montana or something. We need to do a big rally in support. Go show our support right there on the highway. Show our support for the great men and women in Border Patrol there in Whitefish. And stand up to these left-wing wackos. But anyway, here is more from this Daily Interlake story. Federal immigration officials have operated continuously out of an office in Whitefish since 1955. 1955. Yeah, think about it. That's how long an office has been there. Officials categorized the historic relationship between the city and Border Patrol as cooperative, but national tensions are now straining decades of interagency goodwill. Yeah, you know, when you allow 10 to 20 million illegal aliens to invade this country, and you have the Mexican drug cartels operating in this country, and you have Tren de Aragua gangbanger thugs operating in this country, and murder and mayhem, yeah, it tends to create a little bit of tension, doesn't it? And so, anyway, they quote a Whitefish City Councilor, Ben Davis, complaining about the local Border Patrol office. He says, quote, "We don't really know what they're doing. They're not transparent about it." Yeah, it's called OPSEC, Councilor. It's called Operational Security. I don't think we want some city council person knowing what they're doing before they go and do it, especially. I mean, what do you think this is? The Los Angeles City Council? Where, oh, if we can just get the Border Patrol folks or if we can just get ICE to tell us who they're going to go detain before they go and detain them, then we can put out the tipster alert to our left-wing activists so they can be there to fight and throw things at our ICE agents or our Border Patrol agents. Or oh, we can give a heads up to the criminal illegals that are about to get detained and arrested. I mean, it's a question some of our listeners have been asking, which is, how is it that these criminals, like the marijuana farm that had 360 illegal aliens working at it, where they were, it looked like they were using children to do hard labor, illegal alien children that, you know, unaccompanied minors that they forced into doing the hard farm labor there. How was it that, they somehow got a tip? And all of a sudden, these left-wing activists showed up to, because, again, that's exactly why our Border Patrol, our ICE agents should not be letting leaks occur before they do these types of operations and round up these criminal illegal aliens. There was another Whitefish City Councilor here, Rebecca Norton. She said that she hopes the police department steers away from interactions with Border Patrol agents in the future, except in cases that involve criminal activity. Most immigration violations are charged as civil offenses. So she doesn't think that the police department should help enforce the law here. She's implying that, well, some laws are okay to be broken, other laws... yeah, maybe. She's implying here that, well, if, yeah, when it gets to the point where these illegal aliens are, you know, knifing people, you know, dealing massive amounts of drugs, all that, who knows? She may not want that law, you know, enforced either. She's saying, well, only if they commit other crimes while they're here. Because every single illegal alien in that valley and in this state and in this country is a criminal, violated the law. And so... she, like, you know, the commie Mamdani, who's running for mayor of New York City, they don't think that our immigration laws should be enforced. And they want to tie the hands of law enforcement from being able to enforce the law. All the while, local citizens become victims of these criminal illegal aliens. Yeah, just a crazy story there. We really should. It'd be great if some folks could organize a big rally in support of our great men and women with the Border Patrol right there, right in front of their office that's, you know, had a presence in Whitefish since 1955. And then now, of course, you got these, you know, Seattle migrants trying to kick the Border Patrol, and these San Francisco migrants trying to kick the Border Patrol, the great men and women of the Border Patrol, out of, you know, what used to be known as a railroad town and a logging town like Whitefish, right? Maybe some of these folks need to be kicked back to Seattle while we're in the process here. Speaking of illegal aliens, KRTV has this headline: several ICE detainees are being held at the Cascade County Detention Center U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement is holding several detainees at the Cascade County Detention Center. Usually, ICE detains someone in the detention center for 48 hours unless there is another order detaining them longer. After 48 hours, they're moved out of state. The story is about how Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter is looking to enter into an ICE contract with Customs and Immigration. And so he's working on that one right now, which is, of course, great work that continues to be done by Sheriff Slaughter. Remember, Gallatin County Sheriff had an agreement ready to rock and roll, and the far left-wing Democrat County Commissioners put a halt to that. Back right after this.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
That typical dad move. I literally just printed up this series of tweets and posts by Mike Rowe. Yeah, that Mike Rowe, the one and only Mike Rowe. And I was like, where did I put it? I just had it right in front of me here. But, man, we cover so much ground here on this show. How can you stay on top of it all? That's why we love taking your phone calls. We love getting your messages. That's what really makes the show great. We've got the phone lines open right now for you. If you got something you want to talk about, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Yeah, I thought that Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter was going to join us here at the top of the show. But, hey, being a sheriff is, you never know what's going to happen in that kind of a job. So not surprised if he got a little sidetracked into some important business here this morning. But, yeah, that leaves more time for you. Getting a couple of messages in on the app right now. Robert. By the way, Robert, is your last name, because I only use first names unless people give me permission to use their last name. Robert, message me back on the app if you're okay with me using your last name, because I think it's important to point out, I believe his last name is an Hispanic last name. I just did a quick search here on the name, and at least according to 23andMe, which sounds like a bad show on Netflix, but it's actually like one of these demographic websites. Anyway, they say that his last name is a Spanish/Hispanic surname. I say that because Robert just sent us a message. He says, please have a rally in Whitefish. We were talking about having a rally in Whitefish to go show support for the men and women at the Border Patrol. And he says, please have a rally in Whitefish. My family, friends, and I will attend. And the reason I mentioned that he's got a Hispanic surname is because these woke white liberals, you're racist, that's racist. They want you to think that kicking Tren de Aragua gangbangers and Mexican drug cartel operatives or other folks who broke the law who came here illegally, that by deporting them, that somehow that's racist. Why do you think President Donald Trump did so well with the Hispanic vote? Because Hispanics who came to this country illegally don't want other folks coming into the country illegally. Plus, they know that when you allow anybody to come into this country illegally, of course it invites the criminal element into this country. And if there's Mexican drug cartel operatives or Tren de Aragua gangbangers that come into this country, who do you think they're going to victimize first? What communities do you think they're going to flee to and hide in? Hispanic communities. So the Hispanic communities are going to bear the brunt of the criminal thugs and gangbangers that got allowed into this country. So that's why President Trump and his plan to secure the border had so much poor support from Hispanics all across America as well. Let's see. Fred in the Flathead says this about the members of the Whitefish City Council who are now bashing the Border Patrol office in their town. Fred says this: these Whitefish Karens think they run this valley. They sub out their problems to the rest of the valley. How many warming shelters are in Whitefish? I support the Border Patrol. That was the message there from Fred in the Flathead. Fred, thanks for that message. All right, speaking of subs, I told you I was looking for that story here from Mike Rowe. Apparently, Mike Rowe was at the was he at the Aspen Institute? I think he was at the Aspen Institute or something else here. Let's see. No, I don't think it was the Aspen Institute, but he was in Aspen at some big think tank, whatever. And you guys know Mike Rowe. Mike Rowe is the dirty jobs guy. And anyway, Mike Rowe had a great message about the trades, about blue-collar jobs, things like that. And, you know, we've had Mike Rowe on this show before talking about how, you know, not every kid needs to go to a four-year liberal arts school to get a good job, to get a good high-wage job. Well, anyway, we've also been talking a lot about AI, artificial intelligence. And as part of the AI conversation, you end up talking about, well, what jobs are going to be replaced by AI? What jobs are going to be replaced by AI? Well, Mike Rowe is out there talking about the jobs that will not be replaced by AI, the jobs that cannot be replaced by AI. He's talking about plumbers. He's talking about electricians. He's talking about automotive technicians and more. Anyway, it's a great message, so definitely want to get to that one here as well. But first, let's go back into the phone lines here. We've got Will in Northwest Montana. Will, let me cue up the phone line. There we go. Will, what's going on? Thanks for the call.
Well, howdy, Mr. Aaron Flint. You're not in the service anymore, so Mr., right?
Well, you don't even have to call me Mr. We're a first-name basis, hands in your pockets, sunglasses on your head, no rank, no formal titles. Yeah, we're pretty laid back around here. But great to hear from you. What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm calling about the proud flag out there in Bozeman.
Yeah.
And, you know, you believe in freedom, don't you, Aaron?
Believe in the what?
Freedom.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I also believe in the latitude and longitude of all life. So, what I'm expressing to you is that does that really matter all that much, a flag?
So you don't think a flag matters that much? Did you ever watch the show Glory? I loved that show when I was a kid, even though it's hard to want to watch. Did you ever watch the show Glory about the Civil War?
Yeah, I think that was the Civil War.
That flag sure meant a lot. That flag sure seemed to mean a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah. Did you hear about the Stars and Stripes? I was on the Southern side. Pardon me.
So interesting. So you you were on the Southern side of the Civil War debate, and now you you have no problem with the secessionist rainbow flag flying as the official flag of the city of Missoula or Bozeman, huh?
Well, you see, Aaron, we have lived in our families a long time. And we have learned that we got to get along. And we fight wars. And we lose. And we win.
So what's your point? Struggling to see what your point is here, because you're kind of like you're spinning all these loops and you're whipping that rope around and it's just spinning around in circles, but you haven't really, you know, thrown it around a horn or anything yet here. So I'm trying to see what the point is here.
Okay, well, I've got a last to you with my lariat.
Okay, all right. Don't know what you're trying to say here. Other than you don't think a flag is that important. Well, I got a great message yesterday, and I for some reason, I apologize, I didn't get to it on the air yesterday. Walt, I think Walt lives in Bozeman. In fact, yeah, because I think I ran into him at an event here in Bozeman last summer. He says, because yesterday we were talking about the pride flag and now flying as the official flag of the city of Bozeman. And he says, I had a few minutes to listen in while I was driving this morning, and I was not surprised to hear about Bozeman's adoption of their own, what I call, anti-American flag. As soon as I got home, I hung up my USA flag and plan to hang it up every day now. And I suggest every other person that is unhappy about Bozeman's new flag do the same. I'm also going to find some USA flag stickers and put them on our cars. That's why I was trying to follow our last caller there on. Wow, what does it matter what flag flies over those buildings? Well, I'll tell you what. When Montana state law says that the POW MIA flag should be flying over government buildings in the state of Montana, and you're not flying the POW MIA flag, that means something. It means something to the people who have served in battle, who have had to pick up that flag and carry it forward when better men fell carrying that flag. You know, I was at Yellowstone County Commissioner's John Ostlund's funeral service and memorial service at the Metro last Saturday. And my favorite, well, there was a lot of great photos that they shared. I think my favorite photo of Yellowstone County Commissioner John Ostlund, there was a photo of him. You remember when the Father's Day tornado blew through Billings and it ripped the roof off the Metro? There was a photo the day after, and it was of Yellowstone County Commissioner John Ostlund and somebody else, and you couldn't see the other person in the photo, and they were grabbing that American flag off of the ground, still covered in dirt, and they were lifting that American flag and getting that American flag flying once again. And what I loved about that photo is not just that it showed his patriotism and his love for this country, but it showed that look, whether you are a Yellowstone County commissioner or whether you are a soldier in battle or whether you are a United States senator or whether you're just Joe Schmo walking down the street, you do your part for this country. You do your part for that flag. You do your part for the future of this country. Some people may say, oh, county commissioner. John Ostlund could have been a congressman. He could have been a senator. He cared about his county. This was where he put his flagpole into the dirt. And by God, he was going to defend it and he was going to fight for it. But there's some guys out there, whoa, well, what's a flag matter? I guess we know who he voted for last November. Let's see. We got Shirley and Kalispell next up on the phone lines. And phone lines are open for you. 294-0970.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins has unveiled a new plan to strengthen USDA's efforts to combat foodborne illness, announced during the opening of the updated Midwestern Food Safety Laboratory in St. Louis. The initiative aims to enhance the food safety and inspection service through improved microbiological testing, inspector training, stronger state partnerships, and more practical approaches to reducing salmonella in poultry. Rollins emphasized the goal of ensuring consumer confidence and upholding top-tier safety standards for meat, poultry, and ag products. It's rodeo time in Stamford. Don't miss the 61st annual C.M. Russell Stampede July 19th and 20th at the Duke Basin County Fairgrounds. Saturday, July 19th kicks off with live music starting at 3, followed by the quick finish art auction at 5:30, featuring some of the Northwest's premier artists. Top off the day with a street dance as well. Then on Sunday, the 20th at 1:30, it's all-out PRCA rodeo action. Tickets are $12 in advance, $15 at the gate. Kids under 8, just 10. Come join the fun. Full details at cmrstampede.com. The U.S. Trade Representative has launched a Section 301 investigation into Brazil over potentially unfair trade practices, including tariffs and ethanol market access. The U.S. Grains Council praised the move, calling it a long-overdue step towards fair treatment for American ethanol producers. The USTR has cited Brazil's barriers as past reports and says they now warrant a thorough review. I'm Lane Northland.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, this is pretty funny. I got a note from Frank in Malta. He says, hey, he says, can't they find somebody else's name other than Karen to bash Karens out there? And I said, I concur, Frank. You know, somebody was talking about the Karens of Whitefish that are bashing Border Patrol. I said, I concur, Frank. You know, my mom's name is Karen. And so here's my mom who had to survive all those years of blonde jokes because she's a blonde. And then now they start the Karen thing. It's just like, come on, people. You know, give these ladies a break. For Pete's sake here. Yeah, Frank, thanks for that note. Speaking of Malta, we had Will in Malta on the phone lines, and then for some reason we lost his call. Will, I want to hear what you have to say. Call back, because I want to get to you. I want to hear what you have to say about the guy who said flags don't matter. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Meanwhile, let's go to Shirley in Kalispell. Shirley, what's on your mind?
Well, I have a flag in my front yard. Got a white background, a green tree on it. And over the top, it says appeal to heaven. I wonder what the flags don't matter people would say if that was commissioned for the city flag. The background on that flag was George Washington carried it in the Battle of Valley Forge. It was the first flag commissioned to fly over the U.S. Navy by George Washington. That was the first flag commissioned to be the first state flag of the state of Massachusetts. It's got historical value, but I think there would be a few people who wouldn't think it was appropriate to fly in a government position.
Yeah, because why? Because it talks about an appeal to heaven. Oh, no. We can't be referencing our creator. We can't be referencing heaven. Ooh. We can't imply that there's a God out there. I mean, these godless leftists, I mean, for peace, nobody's perfect, but I mean, these people, my goodness, they're just insane right now.
Anyway, I think flags matter, and I've been flying that flag for the past 10 years. I think it would be an excellent flag to be commissioned for the city flag of Kalispell. I think it would be a good deal.
And it's got American history behind it as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
You know, even the Don't Tread on Me flag, I mean, when I was overseas on my last deployment, you know, the Army soldiers have the American flag that you wear on one shoulder, and the Navy guys, and when we say guys in Montana, that means guys and gals, of course, but they'll have an American flag on one shoulder patch, and then a version of the Don't Tread on Me patch on the other shoulder, given that history, right? Hey, thanks for the phone call. Great to hear from you, Shirley. Looks like we got Will in Malta back on the phone lines. Will, what's your thoughts?
The guy that had the flag don't matter thing kind of pissed me off. The American flag means more to this country than some rainbow flag that nobody really cares about. I mean, yeah, you're entitled to your opinion, but that American flag stands for something. That flag was stolen, and I think it's a bunch of horse pucky.
Well, and I also think the reason, why does the flag matter? Why does it matter when we plant that flag? And, you know, especially in battle, for example, why do we plant that flag over that terrain? And it's to say, okay, we are now in charge. And it's a symbol of what matters and your values. And that flag represents all of us. No matter what color you are under the sun, I mean, no matter what your lifestyle is, that flag represents all of us. Whereas the flag that they're pushing, they are deliberately doing it to be divisive and to divide this country and to specifically say to anybody with Judeo-Christian values out there that nope, you guys need to sit down and shut up because we own Bozeman, we own Missoula, we want to chop body parts off of kids, we want men and girls bathrooms, and so you guys need to sit down and shut up because this is our country. That's why that flag matters to them. So that's why it's so important to them right now. To the they-thems.
Exactly. And I've known plenty of men and women that have served in the military. I never got the opportunity or the privilege to do it. But by God, if somebody comes after my flag, they're in for one hell of a fight.
That's right. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You know, this reminds me of something that kind of sent me on a rant earlier this morning as well. You know, if you wonder how important that U.S. flag is, you know, I saw a story in the Billings Gazette. They got published here this morning. Roughly 50 people became American citizens during this naturalization ceremony. And, you know, naturalization ceremonies, when you have a naturalization ceremony where somebody gets to become an official American citizen, that means something. And that flag is a powerful symbol. I mean, some of these people escaped hell because of the hope in that flag and the hope in their God. And they now they get to become an American citizen, and that's why those ceremonies are so powerful. So judges will preside over these naturalization ceremonies, and judges will, you know, officiate the proceedings, right? And they're always incredible ceremonies, and there really shouldn't be any politics at these types of things because it's just such a remarkable moment. I mean, you have people who fled, who escaped communism, and now they're becoming United States citizens. Remarkable events. Well, U.S. Magistrate Judge Timothy Cavan, he's one of the liberal federal judges that we've got on the bench here because of years of Democrat control. He's the guy who back in 2019 was the climate alarmist judge who used climate as his reasoning for blocking a coal mine in southeast Montana from an expansion. So he's a radical left-wing judge. So he's presiding over this ceremony, and his quote that was featured by the Billings Gazette was, "We're all immigrants. We are all immigrants." No, we aren't, Judge. We're all citizens, and citizenship matters, and borders matter. Now, many of us, you know, wouldn't be here if it wasn't for our immigrant grandparents or great-grandparents. But we are citizens. We are all citizens, other than the 10 to 20 million illegal aliens that Joe Biden and John Tester allowed to flood into this country, of course. We're citizens, and that matters. Let's see. Next up, let's go to Joe in Wolf Point, listening to KVCK. Joe, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Aaron, I just wanted to comment on the flag topic there. Maybe if you could just play that Johnny Cash song, This Old Flag, on your show here in a minute.
That good idea. Wasn't there, I mean, I know there was some Paul Harvey, you know, Paul Harvey had an incredible tribute to the American flag as well. Man.
Yeah, I'm not sure on that one, but I'm sure Paul Harvey did. So anyway, that's all I had that put in today. Thank you.
I appreciate it. No, thank you. Yeah, the ragged old flag. I'll see if we can do a little snippet of that coming out of our next break. That's a great idea. Thanks for the tip on that one. Okay, next up, let's go to Right on John. Right on John in Los Angeles. Right on John, what's going on?
Well, I have a flag flying right now from my radio antenna, and I'm going to go into Walmart and get some flag stickers for my electric bike as well as my truck. I'm going to, tomorrow or tonight or whatever, I'll ask a lot of the gay people, XYZs, what their thoughts are, and then maybe get back to you on that. I stay at the Warming Center, and I know both the guy that was stabbed as well as the perpetrator, and it could have easily been me because he was giving out really super hot sauce just to torture people, and I took it away from him, so I came pretty close to myself almost being stabbed.
Yeah, isn't that crazy, John? I mean, I know you've been going through some tough times ever since the big floods back in 2022, and so you've, you know, had to deal with, you know, being homeless. And so, yeah, here we have these warming shelters and these homeless centers to help people, that, you know, help Montanans like you and families that get in a pinch. And then you have to deal with violent, criminal, illegal aliens stabbing people? I mean, again, we get this virtue signaling from the left where they claim to care about people that are in situations just like yours, and yet this is what they thrust upon you.
There's so many good people in there, so I can't say anything wrong about, but it'll surprise you from time to time. I thought I lost my buddy there. So
yeah.
And then were they saying that they were going to stop taking taxes on overtime? Because, like, I remember growing up, even in Canada as well, is that if you got into overtime, you'd put you in a second, another tier tax bracket, and you'd make far less than what you would. And so a lot of people started refusing to work overtime.
Yeah, that's a good point. I remember that when I was a little kid. You know, my mom was a waitress and worked in restaurants and things up on the High Line. And I remember her saying, it's like, you work harder, you make more money, you make more tips, and then they tax you even more. And I just remember that as a little kid thinking, that is insane. I mean, it made sense even to me as a little kid that you shouldn't punish people for working harder. But yeah, no, John, right on, John, you're right. The one big beautiful bill, not only is there no tax on tips, but no tax on overtime as well. It's up to a certain limit in both categories. All right, we'll get to more phone calls right after this. Mike in Belgrade and more. Stand by.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, that's a good idea from Diane in Lewistown. Diane in Lewistown. You know, Red Skelton was just in Lewistown. Wasn't he at the last Cowboy Poetry Gathering? But anyway, Diane says this, try and find a copy of Red Skelton's Pledge Allegiance to the Flag. Great idea, Diane. Thanks for that message. I've got a little bit of Johnny Cash, Ragged Old Flag queued up for you. First, though, let me tell you about another great American patriot who served our country and carried that American flag on his shoulder as well. I'm talking about our U.S. Marine Corps veteran friend, Lee Ettinger, in Big Fork, Montana. I met him back at the inauguration in January. Great guy. And he sent me this product that he created, a Power Plus Pain Aid. It's basically an energy drink along with natural pain relieving vitamins. So you get that energy boost and you get some relief from the aches and pains that come with all that hard work or all that good fun as well. So anyway, check it out. Power Plus Pain Aid. It's a drug-free pain relief made in America and made by our Marine Corps veteran friend in Big Fork, Montana. Go to drinkpowerplus.com, use the code FLINT15 at checkout, and you'll get 15% off your Power Plus Pain Aid. Okay, I think I've got it queued up here. Here's just a portion of Johnny Cash, Ragged Old Flag.
On Flanders Field in World War I, she got a big hole from a Bertha gun. She turned blood red in World War II. She hung limp and low a time or two. She was in Korea, Vietnam. She went where she was sent by her Uncle Sam. She waved from our ships upon the briny foam, and now they've about quit waving back here at home. In her own good land here, she's been abused. She's been burned, dishonored, denied, refused. And the government for which she stands is scandalized throughout the land. And she's getting threadbare and she's wearing thin, but she's in good shape for the shape she's in.
All right, that's just part of Johnny Cash, Ragged Old Flag. Thanks to our listener in Wolf Point. Thanks to Joe for that recommendation there. All right, next up on the phone lines, we got Mike in Belgrade. Mike, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Well, I was thinking about this whole flag thing. And, you know, if a flag didn't matter, then why would somebody go against legislation to fly a flag? Why would protesters use flags from other countries? It just doesn't make sense to me if a flag doesn't matter. So that's one of the lies that they'll tell you. And yet, if a flag doesn't matter, they wouldn't be flying a flag themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, it's about values. It's about what that the same people who say that flags don't matter, huh? Well, you trash the American flag. Yet you have no problem burning the American flag. Yet you wave these, you know, pro Hamas flags. And then we have, you know, pro-Hamas terrorist sympathizers in our own streets waving the flags of a foreign land.
Yeah, if they did that back in the, revolutionary era over in, let's say, England, they'd probably lose their head over treason. Interesting thought.
Well, and And that's what I think also stands out about the people flying this rainbow flag, is that they are the symbol of intolerance. The American flag stands for all of us. And they, the ones who preach tolerance, are actually the ones who are intolerant. And we saw that type of intolerance on full display during the Biden regime in particular, where they were targeting Christians, targeting Catholics in their churches in particular, and then locking up peaceful pro-life protesters as well. Aaron in Three Forks. Aaron, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, so the next time you have your lawyer buddy on there, you should ask him if, because that flag is now a government flag, if it is legal to burn it.
Well, it should be, right? Yeah.
I would think so. It's now taken a similar place as the American flag, as Old Glory, and they can burn that. So I wonder if they did this to retaliate against Gianforte, and his bill would having a gay pride burning in the middle of Bozeman be a proper retaliation.
Well, they'd probably try to prosecute you for a hate crime if you did that, right? You know, if they trash America and if they burn the American flag, they call it free speech. But boy, if you were to burn their dearly beloved flag, they would try to have you prosecuted for a so-called hate crime there. All right, Aaron, thanks for the call. Okay, we're just about out of time. I mentioned Mike Rowe. He said, you know, he was talking about, we keep talking about all the jobs that will be replaced by AI. Well, Mike Rowe is talking about the jobs that will not be replaced by AI. Larry Fink says we need 500,000 electricians in the next couple of years. The Blue Forge Alliance, anyway, talking about needing more tradespeople for the Navy. 140,000 to help deliver our nuclear-powered submarines, for example. The automotive industry needs 80,000 repair folks and technician folks. Energy, anywhere from 300,000 to 500,000 people needed there as well. Those are just some of the jobs that AI can't replace. All right. Thanks for the great phone calls. Don't you-